Thanks everyone for being here. I'm Stephanie, and I'll call the meeting to order. Let's see. Mayor Pro Tem Vargas, would you do the honor?
Sure. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take the roll call.
John Durick.
Present.
Eric Duane.
You call his name and get him yet to step out.
Okay. Alexis Federico.
She will not be attending today.
Alexander.
Will also not be attending today.
Alex Maslin.
Will also not be attending.
Robert McDonald.
Here. That's somebody from the Navy. Here.
No. One's all swabs.
All three Navy. All Marines.
Yeah. Oh, Alex.
Michael Radigan. Stephen Vargas.
Here.
Stephanie Wade.
Here.
And then Eric Dwayne.
Present.
We're barely making quorum, although I don't know if it's official if we're missing all three Alex. I have just a couple of my announcements. The first is that Bobby McDonald, the irrepressible Bobby McDonald, put on a really interesting event that I participated in. It was a Women's Veterans Leadership Summit. And I'd like to applaud Bobby for doing that. It was a great network. And I would also say that, you know, I'm continually amazed at how many places I see George Dixon. And of the 2,700 veterans served, according to the big voice, I was one of them. And I was really happy about the service I received. And one of the best things was that they called me and they said, well, we had a cancellation. Do you want to come in a couple of days early? And so we were able to do that. And I got about six or seven things done in 1 hour appointment with a fellow veteran, which was terrific, Mark Eggers. The only thing, and I think George knows this, we've discussed it, is we'd like to get that wait time down, because I waited several months, about 3 months for an appointment. So, you know, I mean, I know that's something we're all working at. And I think some of the changes, the work he's been doing to bring in people and to get them trained, I think we're headed in that direction. And so we really appreciate that. That was the only thing I had to start the meeting. I know we have a lot on the agenda today. And so from there, I'd like to open up public comment. Is there anybody here, or do we receive any written communication? Monica? Robert Buchanan, Vanguard University. Robert?
Thank you. Two things. I know there's a lot on the agenda. I wanted to express I had a lot of interest in being, I know there were some at-large positions. COVID kind of ruined Christmas for everybody for a couple of years. I wanted to express my, I was disappointed or disheartened, moved along in the process, and then it just, something changed, things changed, and it abruptly, I wasn't a part of it. So if that's just my hopes getting squandered, that's fine. I'm easily butthurt. The other thing too, Vanguard University, we sat down with our provost last week, and I don't know if you guys' venue situation has changed. We do have live streaming capabilities given COVID season, pretty good at it at a higher educational institution. He offered that is available for this meeting if you guys want. So at no charge. Okay. With that, that's all I got.
Very topical. Thanks, Robert. And no other communication?
Yep. Thanks.
So I'd like to move into the next part of it. I hope everybody had a chance to review it. I can tell you that in the time it takes to start the meeting, while having conversations with Eric and John, I took my own personal life score. So this is something I've tried. And I'd like to invite John Wharton. So give us a presentation about what we'll be voting on in a little bit.
You could advance it for one slide. Slide two. Oh. There we go. Thank you, Chairman Wade. Thanks, advisory board members and special guests. My name is John Wharton. I'm the founder of LifeScore, a credit score for your life. It measures your health across six domains: state of mind, sleep, spiritual health, nutrition, food, and fitness. So we'll start off the conversation with, as we know, that veterans, there was an article in the Orange County Register over the weekend where Veronica Kelly, the chief of mental health services, wrote in that veterans have always been a target population because we don't have a Veterans Administration hospital in this county. So we know we have about 140,000 veterans in this county, and we need to serve that. So what's the best way to do that? And so we have this group of users. We have the county that invests a lot of money in terms of services and resources, but how do you connect the two? That's the dilemma that's facing Orange County and, frankly, many other counties across the country right now, particularly with veterans. And so what LifeScore is it bridges the gap, and using a just-in-time strategy connects users to those resources. Oh, clicker.
We're loving clicker.
Here we go. So what LifeScore can do is, it is a closed-loop system. So you have the user data input, which then can create de-identified dashboards for the enterprise, or in this case, could be this council, could be Board of Supervisors. And then you also have the analytics so that you can better predict and prescribe outcomes and efficiency. The advantages and value of that is, for the user, the app is set up as a simple, easy to use tool using unique privacy and security to build trust and eliminate stigma, and also be able to create communities of engagement, communities of support, because we know that peer support is a great motivator, a great accountability, and a great tool for helping vets get better. From the leadership perspective, there's not enough clinicians. In 5 years, there's going to be even less clinicians. The need is going higher, especially post-COVID, in terms of anxiety, depression, loneliness, sense of purpose, suicide ideation. So how do we build capacity so we can diminish the load on the system? Well, this tool, because of the unique features, can do that. And then also from an aggregation and analytics perspective, create a standard of collecting actionable data, prescriptive and predictive, and be able to take that and then also take in and do what if research so that you can see into the future, you know, what you need to be investing in. So from the user perspective, it's about three things: understanding your health, improving your health, and connecting to support. So these are the screens for that. As Chairman Wade said, she took her life score. I'm sure if you've asked her, she'll show you her scores. And it looks at these domains. And it does it with de-identifying. So when you set up your account, your personal information never leaves your phone. So we don't store any personal information: name, address, phone number, email address. We don't store any of that information in the database. And that's one of the things that's unique about it. But the user controls who can and who can't have access to their information. And that's done through the hub, which is the peer support component. So the user decides who goes in their hub and what they see. So that's a very important distinction. When you're looking at from the leadership perspective, you can get a dashboard that can show you, for example, this could be Orange County on the big board. And you can see, okay, here's all veterans in Orange County. Here's their trend across each of the six domains. And then you can get a graphic about it. And then you could subdivide it by zip code or by whatever delineation if you want to, you know, get some more micro data. And then also you get actionable information for the enterprise. Here's what the information is. Here's some characteristics. Here's what you can do with it.
Because there's a lot of data sources, but what is it? What does it mean? What can you do with it? And then you can also evaluate resources. And this is actual data from our testing where we did a food and fitness intervention. And then you have the baseline, which is the control group. You can see they didn't participate in the intervention. Their score remained pretty flat. But those that participated in the intervention, their food score went up, their fitness score went up, but their sleep score went up the most. So you can see the relationship between the categories and how it can affect people's health. But then evaluate those resources. You can also look at by domain. So let's say, for example, sleep. If you want to understand, well, here's veterans in Orange County. We have excellent sleep, good sleep, average sleep, fair sleep, poor sleep. Here's how many veterans fall into each of those buckets. And then here's their corresponding life score. So that you can understand, or how much sleep you get in a 24-hour period. And you can do that for any of the domains, any of the subdomains. So you can really look at how things are affecting veterans. And then you can also have topological data analysis where you can look at cohorts and be able to see the relationships and characteristics of those cohorts. So you can see, hey, here's what a high scoring segment might look like. Here's what a low scoring segment might look like. Here's an outlying cohort and what their relationships and characteristics are. So you can better understand what the population need is. And then from a efficiency perspective, we worked and partnered with Johns Hopkins University to come up with a healthcare economic wellness efficiency score. How can you look at healthcare spending, the population that you're serving, their lifestyle data, the social determinants of health, and come up with a comprehensive ROI so you can say, hey, we're doing a good job or we're not doing a good job. And so that's really important component. And specifically with Orange County, if you look at who benefits, obviously the veterans, the active duty and reserves of Orange County, military families. Well, we were talking with Renee earlier today, and in our testing, we did a test specifically with veterans and their caregivers. Oftentimes families are not on the same page with the healthcare and health situation of their household. But this allows you to give actionable, objective data so that you can be on the same page. And that takes a lot of stress and different things off the table. Also, the friends of the military, because those are the people that would be in your hub. And these could be people you work with, people you grew up with, people you went to school with, whoever the user decides. Obviously, Orange County and the veterans community, service providers, because now they'll be able to connect their resources directly to veterans in need. So no longer do veterans have to go out and search out what resources they need. The resources specific to their need come to them and then get rated by, does it help or does it not help? So the benefits to Orange County, it's scalable. Almost every veteran in Orange County has a phone. Even homeless veterans have phones. So you're able to be able to have that direct user interface. There's a daily check-in, so you're able to communicate with those veterans on a daily basis. You have increased the quality of mental health services with measurable outcomes. You'll be able to increase access to mental health services and resources, which the county has spent a lot of money developing. You'll be able to get real-time data and analytics so you can measure those efficiencies and outcomes. And the most important thing is be able to get the right resource to the right person at the right time. It's a free download. Right now, you can download the app as it's currently constituted. It's in the App Store. Obviously, Chairman Wade has done that. A few other people have as well. Being able to connect existing county services, in a hyper-personalized way so that it increases access. And whether it's OC Connect, OC Links, BeWell OC, 211 OC, again, there's a lot of resources that are right now available in Orange County. A lot of them are underutilized or underused. And then be able to get that feedback in real time. So being able to log in, get into the leadership dashboard and be able to see, hey, here's what's going on in the county with our veteran population. And then again, be able to subdivide that by age, race, sex, zip code, any of the intake fields. And then the most important thing, be able to really understand an innovative real-time suicide prevention capability. And it measures factors like moral injury, combat exposure, how you look at risk, fear, failure, criticism, mentorship, to your life approach, your personality, all done with a community-based approach so that you have this platform where you have this peer support component. We also have a concept of the lifeguard. So anytime your score drops below a certain number or drops by a percentage over a certain period of time, the buddy check will go off. And then, for example, I'll get a buddy check. Hey, Stephanie Wade is going through a rough patch. Check in with her. It's time for a buddy check. And then you'll be able to, in one button, either text or call Stephanie and check in. So that at least right now doesn't exist. So our goal is, we've been speaking with some of the county supervisors. So we want to do a pilot program in Orange County targeting veterans. We want to be able to build capacity to connect veterans to the community resources that already exist or that may come around, and be able to provide real-time reporting to evaluate those outcomes and efficiencies using a value-based care approach. And I'll leave you with another quote. This is from John Sharon, Dr. John Sharon, who is the former LA County Mental Health Director. As a longtime leader of efforts that improve the mental health and well-being of individuals, I would recommend investing in LifeScore and thereby the needs of our communities. So I'll leave it at that. I see that Eric is trying to download it now. Did you get your score?
No, I can't get past the rank section because you don't include the most important officers in the military. The warrant officer.
So I'm stuck. Done.
So I guess I'll
done by 01, 02,
03. I'll just go 10. That's good.
W-O-1 through 4.
Because every service branch has different rankings, but they all have E1, E2, E3, sure. 01, 02, yeah. So it makes it a lot much.
It's all good.
No. So with that, I'll take your questions, but I take that as a good sign.
Giving it a whirl.
Yes, I have a question. MHSA innovative funding, is that a grant or something, or is that county money that you're asking for?
No, it's a grant. MHSA is a state program. So, you know, it gets paid into, it's a tax on, I think, millionaires is how it works. And so each county gets allocated a certain amount of money based on population and need. So there is in the MHSA program grants for innovation. So that money comes from the state. And then the county supervisors control how that's allocated.
So if we were to support this, we would then write a support letter to allow to the supervisors to suggest that we're recommending this. Doesn't mean that they're going to get it.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I have an interesting question. When you put up the that sort of heat map of if we did that as a point in time in if we had done that in September and August and September of 2021, I think that would have been a really interesting point to compare that to, say, May of 2021. One more, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's when we withdrew from Afghanistan, and it was a really tough time for a lot of guys. I mean, we heard about it a lot.
Absolutely.
And I think
so did I.
But talk for a minute, if you could, a little bit about how that information would be used. And in other words, how does it relate to the portal? And say, if the county invested some money in this, how would the county see that data? Is it dependent upon people having opted in?
So obviously it's the users, right? So the idea is to get as many veterans using the tool as possible. So we would utilize the Orange County Collaborative, the VSOs that make it up, but we have the support of that. We have the support of the American Legion, the VFW in Orange County. We have the support of the Long Beach VA. So we have mechanisms to create awareness, get people to download the app. And then from there, once the users start using it, the information, the de-identified information goes into the database. So at any point in time, you can go in as a enterprise into, there'll be a portal with the username and password set up for certain individuals to have access, because not everybody can have access to the overall data, right? So whoever the county decides is the person who has access to the data, they'll be able to go in and look at the dashboards. And then as a organization, we can go in and say, and provide a report. So let's say there's a request for a topological data analysis at a point in time, because this is a point in time,
right?
Then we can provide that information. But this is the goal, right? To be able to get this kind of detailed information on knowing exactly what's driving high scores and low scores and understanding the relationships and characteristics. I mean, that doesn't exist right now.
And then it seemed to me that LifeScore was interested in helping facilitate events for veterans as well. I mean, it started receiving some invitations to things with VA Long Beach. Could you talk just about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm part of the Long Beach VA Veteran Connect Committee. So one of the goals of the committee and the Long Beach VA is to connect to vets, particularly those that are not in the VA system. And the best way to do that is set up a program, which we're doing on April 22nd. It's a hike, bike, boat, barbecue. So any veteran, any family member is free to participate. And it's a way for vets to come out and connect to one another. Because again, at the end of the day, peer support, social, physical activity is the greatest healing tool. It's worth exponential amounts of prescription drugs. It's not even close. And so, you know, that's my personal expertise is in that area. I've built a very successful program. So the Long Beach VA asked me to try to set up a program, that, particularly in Orange County, because like Veronica Kelly's quote said, there's not a VA medical center in Orange County, but there's a great need, particularly for veterans in Orange County.
Do you think one of the problems we talk about a good deal in Orange County is that there are more veterans that the VA identifies than we know about as a county. So for instance, when we look at people who are likely veterans, it seems that there are probably about 20,000 veterans that are unidentified in any way, shape, or form. And then we sort of know about a lot of the veterans organizations. You know, the demographics shifted as, you know, a lot of the older veterans are, you know, draft era veterans, and that demographic, you know, we have a smaller pool to draw from, but they're increasingly isolated. How could this help, if at all, to get veterans to sort of join and be involved and be connected with other veterans?
Well, I think the best thing is you'll have a more accurate picture of just how many veterans are in Orange County. Because when people download the app, just ask a question, you know, do you identify as a veteran? So you'll be able to understand better that information. And then, you know, I think because the peer support component, so when you log in, you're going to want to put your family and friends in the app. So you're going to send them invitations. So then it has this viral capacity to reach exponentially more people. And the word gets out. And as you know, first thing everybody does whenever we've done any of our group tests, the first thing everybody does is show everybody their score. And then they start this camaraderie of, okay, we're going to do a challenge on fitness like the Coast Guard did. All these Coast Guard guys are like, we're not as fit as we thought. We got to start, you know, we got to start working. So, I mean, it's pretty remarkable how the intrinsic motivation kicks in, because everybody loves numbers. Everybody wants to know what their number is. Everyone's going to want to know what their number is in relation to their buddies. And it just creates a good dynamic for people, particularly those, it draws people out of that isolation because people are going to encourage those guys to join in.
Is this being beta tested anywhere in Orange County at all? I mean, so are you using it at all, George?
I need to probably check.
I think not yet.
That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get a pilot program going here in Orange County. Okay. We've tested it with the California National Guard, the Coast Guard, veterans and caregivers, and the active duty military at Fort Bragg.
How's the Guard using that?
Same. They did it as a test. So they had an H2F training. So they had a whole company. They came in, we went in and got them all in the app. There's 100 soldiers. Then they went off and did this H2F testing.
Yeah.
And then we showed them the before and after data and, you know, some of the same screens that you just saw. And they were like, oh, you know, and it was very interesting. That's where we learned that people will be honest.
Right.
Because in the app, the score, the before and after scores went up in every category except fitness. And so I was like, that doesn't make sense. They're at an H2F. H2F is holistic health and fitness. So why did the fitness score down? Called the commander up and I said, he goes, oh, we were in a classroom. It was a classroom thing. And I said, well, it means that your soldiers were honest because they could have clicked that they said they worked out,
yeah,
but they didn't. And their score dropped and the overall score of the unit dropped. And the only way that happens is if people are honest, because no one can see your information other than, no one sees how you answer the questions other than you. So people want to help themselves. They're not going to lie.
Is the Guard looking at this as a program and expanding it to, you know, other units, other subordinates?
Yes. We're in talks right now with the California National Guard because they want to look at it as a readiness tool of evaluating readiness and who's eligible to deploy and things like that. We're actually working right now with the Air Force, Space Force, Marine Corps, and National Guard for when you talk about the active duty component.
The concern I do have is just, you know, when you look at marketing funnel is building interest and awareness, and it looks like you're looking at the infrastructure, the VSO infrastructure. We were talking about the vet centers on campuses. Is that how you're doing it, where it's almost word of mouth, organization by organization, or do you have social media type of campaign?
All of the above. And so, for example, Orange County spends, according to public records, $14.9 million on an awareness campaign for mental health services. Why not tag every one of those ads with a QR code for a free download of the app? You'd reach basically every resident of Orange County through that program. So there's a lot of different easy ways to get it out there for people to download it. You know, that George could put it on the Veterans Service Office website and you can have a QR code. So anytime someone logs in or anytime some vet comes through, you can do it through churches, community groups. There's a lot of organizations that reach a lot of people in every community.
So your organization, LifeScore, has a, you know, public information officer or a marketing director that could assist?
Correct.
How do you pull it out?
Yeah.
I mean, John, I think one thing that's important to say that you or yourself are not a veteran, a military veteran.
I did officer candidate school for the Marine Corps.
Very nice.
Freaking Army guy.
But this is like a Marine mafia, isn't it?
California, my friend.
I'm not considered a veteran. But I, you know, I got a call from the Palo Alto VA in 2007, asked if I could help set up a program for their suicide prevention office. That's how I got started. I created this program called Ride to Recovery, where we did these group social bicycle events. It was phenomenally successful. Then I was asked by Gary Cheek to come up with a way to reach more vets. So I came up with the idea of the Warrior Games. And, you know, that was a huge success. And then, you know, started working with the VA when Secretary McDonald came in on specifically suicide prevention and how you can get information or interact with more people. And that's where I said, hey, what we need is a credit score for your life. Because everybody knows what scores mean. And if you can make it simple, easy to use, people will do it. And, you know, in all of our testing, we've had anywhere from 67 to 77% user engagement numbers on a daily basis. So that means people are using it. And I mean, usually a normal app is like 5 or 10%. So it's particularly veterans, and because of the peer support component, because they all want to, it creates that natural camaraderie that they're used to. So you tap into human nature.
And I think there's some questions about communicating with the veteran community and culture things. Eric, do you want to ask a couple of points?
Sure, I'll ask some. I tried getting in the app and now I need a buddy check because I have no valid rank and I have no valid MOS. I guess I don't exist.
So or is it valid?
I'm not valid. I need validation. How do we change that?
Well, no, I mean, the fields are customized. Okay. So when we set up the app, we set it up because we were, the last test we did was with active duty military.
Got it.
So that's how, you know, any of the fields, any questions, like if as an advisory board, if you guys had suggestions, yeah. Like we've gotten suggestions from LA County, they want to look at the homeless situation. So they asked us to put in a question about, are you homeless, at risk of homeless, you know, couch surfer, you know, renter, do you have provided housing, live with your parents, you know, so there's things that they want to look at as well. The great thing about a data analytical tool is we can create any field we want,
change it,
and it's pretty easy to do.
Yes. So I would recommend a change for that. And then I had also another question about who is OCVFW? I don't know what that is, but it's one of the support groups. Obviously, Newport Beach 291, we're both a member.
I think that's the Orange County Veterans and Family, Military Family Collaborative.
Oh, okay. So it says VFW, but okay, Military Family Collaborative. Got it.
And Dr. Sharon, he just sent us that letter of support on Monday. We did a presentation to him, and he's like, this is awesome. He goes, I wish I would have had this when I was the mental health director of LA County.
I think the only other question I have is the pilot program that you're interested in is terribly well spelled out. I think that's something that would be more, you know, county staff would be looking at. But tell us, what is it that you sort of see spending the money on? I think John was starting to ask those questions as well.
So we're going to have to customize the app for Orange County. We're going to have to understand, you know, obviously the target audience is veterans and their families. The veterans themselves or anyone who gets on the app will be able to send invitations out to whoever they want to be in their hub, in their peer support hub. So the idea is, you know, the county's interested in understanding what is the state of veterans. You know, what areas in the county, within the county, do you have maybe, you know, higher or lower overall scores or whatever? The idea is to really be able to provide to the county actionable information. So, hey, if we're spending all this money, are we getting our bang for the buck? And if we're spending money where we don't need to be spending money, let's spend money where we need to be spending money. So being able to get that actionable information, because right now that mechanism doesn't exist.
I'd be really interested in taking a subset and really testing it to learn. You know, what if a VSO used it? What if an academic vet center uses it? You know, just one as opposed to going large. Going in,
well, it's ultimately up to the county to decide.
Correct. I mean, that's exactly what I'd love to be able to see before we go large, is to really to better understand and learn from a subset. And obviously, you want to utilize more than anything else, and you also want to have the capacity to build interest and awareness, but more importantly, convert veterans to use it at the VSO and other veteran service organizations.
Oh, I'd like to answer that. So the MHSA Innovation Fund is designed to take a product like this and build it out,
right,
and stretch it out. That's the whole design of the program, quite the Innovation Fund. So it's, you know, the idea of just going small, it takes money to go small. You might as well just take that money to the service of the vets. It's already scalable to of that size.
Okay.
And you get better data with the bigger numbers. Now, once the data is there, then you can have all the different constituents, all of the people who are vested in this, whether it's the county or whether it's veteran service, they can dig in and look at the numbers the way they need to look them. If the county is funding it, then yes, they can do that.
Yeah, ultimately, it's up to the Board of Supervisors to Absolutely. Decide. I mean, I think how you market it can be very targeted. Like you can target market to certain areas, but because the app is available in the App Store, you can't control who downloads it or who doesn't download it from that perspective.
Correct. But you can you can get as close as you can to convert users at the end by being able. My concern is not only, you know, spending the money and recommending to spend the money, but my concern is it being executable? And what are the layers of being able to execute to the end user? That's my only concern.
Yeah, well, because it's technology, it's fairly easy in terms of scalability. So the idea is more to Eric's point about, okay, we want to customize, we want to look at specifically, you know, these types of areas where it's moral injury or combat exposure or PTSD or whatever it is, and make sure those questions get in there so that you're looking at the information you want to look at. And then you can, like I said, you can specifically target how you market. You don't have to market it to the whole county. You can market it through VSOs or through the collaborative or whoever, that's beyond my pay grade.
Right.
You know, but he got a good pay grade. That wouldn't, but I'll take his input anytime you want to give it.
Oh, absolutely.
The thing is my concern is what Eric just went through. You know, is being able, instead of going wide, is Eric, that's our first data point.
Is it ready for prime time?
Yeah, is it ready for prime time yet? And again, that's what I understand the money that's invested, but again, you want to test and learn before you go adjacent, and it sounds like you can do that.
No, absolutely. And that's normally how we go about doing it. That's what, like to RJ's point, that's what the innovation grant is for. It's for, hey, let's test this, let's pilot it, see what we get, and then see how we want to scale it to reach, you know, more.
I've run a software company for 10 years. I've been through this once or twice.
Oh, I know. I've worked for a bunch of tech guys. So I get it.
No, but you want to have a just, I mean, the whole app is based on a great user experience.
I'm sorry.
John, I just have a quick question, because I think I'm getting a better understanding on what your next steps are from here would hopefully kind of guide us and answer some of these questions that I'm hearing in terms of, are you currently preparing to submit a proposal directly to the MHSA board for the innovation funds, or are you working with the county's behavioral health department or healthcare agency to apply through that?
So yeah, so
like where kind of, what are the next steps?
We're meeting with the individual supervisors and their supervisor offices and their teams to understand what is it that they want, because ultimately the supervisors control how this is going to work out. And then Michelle Smith is the MHSA person for Orange County. So we've tried to get a meeting with her, but we've met with two supervisors so far, and we're meeting with the third one on Tuesday. There's a lot of interest from the supervisors to do this. Obviously, it's been well stated that this population is underserved right now in Orange County and can benefit from this. And we have the support of a lot of veterans groups in Orange County already, whether it's the Collaborative, the American Legion, the VFW, the Long Beach VA. So we're trying to gain that consensus and then move forward.
So currently you're not working against a deadline to submit a proposal?
No, there's no deadline that I've been made aware of. Only the military shippers.
Did any of the supervisors ask you what the big nut is going to be, what the cost is going to be, what you're going to look for?
Yeah, and so in innovation grant, there's a set amount, it's my understanding, of what those are. So that it is what it is. So
do you have an idea what somebody's going to ask you what's going to cost?
Yeah.
Innovation grants is big, you know, but then again, you're also up against the $1.2 billion that's not coming in from the federal government this year for the county. And they're going to be looking at making up that deficit somewhere. And then on the other piece where you're talking about the money that Virginia Kelly's talking about, there's a strong possibility that the governor's looking at taking all that mental health money and putting it into veterans, houses for veterans or homes for veterans or whatever the case may be. So those kinds of things are coming up. And that's why I was asking about what kind of money you're looking for.
Yeah, so the amount of money depends. So the biggest cost you have is, you know, not necessarily the software development part. That piece is actually not that expensive because of the way we design the tool. But it's who has access to the database, how many people, how often. That's where the cost comes in. Is the data coming in is very cheap. It's the data going out that's expensive.
There are other variables within that the county government is going to ask us about. We may go in there and say, this is for veterans, this is what we're doing. They go, okay. Well, we'd also like this group, or we'd also like that group, age, LGBTQ. But they may say, we want in 5, 6, 7 different languages.
If that's what they want, that's going to cost them extra money. So we're flexible on what it is, but it's also dependent on what their demands are.
Still haven't thrown out a number. Because we don't know.
Okay, fine. I mean, that's what I was looking for.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's all these variables. So it's like, I can't give you a hypothetical number that may not be true.
Is there a range?
That's not what I'm asking. I mean,
the typical grant range is that $2 million, $1 million a year.
Okay.
2 years, renewable for another 2 years.
All right.
For a total of $4 million. That's, yeah. So sometimes you go the $2 million route, you go 2 years, and then you go, we'll switch it over to a different part of the budget because we like it.
Well, I mean, another reason why I'm asking, because one of us represents a supervisor.
Right.
And a supervisor should call us to ask us our question.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to answer for you.
Yeah, I know, but they're going to, if you haven't told them the number, and you haven't told us the number, there's no number we can come up.
We're anticipating a $2 million grant.
Okay,
very good. For 2 years.
Can I ask a quick question?
Please.
Recount, what evidence do you have that veterans will want to use the extent of that?
So the evidence that we have is based on our testing and based on the feedback that we've gotten from veterans. Most veterans know they have some area that they want to work on. Most veterans want to control how they do that process. Right now, currently, the way the system is, there's no way for the veteran to control how they go about helping themselves. They basically have two options. They can go out and present themselves at whether it's the VA or some other healthcare provider, or they can self-medicate. And so there really isn't a lot of options available to them that they control. And one of the things that we've gotten the strongest feedback on is this is the first time that there's a device that they control. They control who sees the information. They control the process. And veterans really like that a lot. And that's why we've gotten such great feedback. And whenever we do any presentation to a VSO, the veterans, the individual veterans really latch on to that. Is that, hey, I control who gets this information. They don't trust, you know, Big Brother. If you go in and go in the VA and they hand you a PHQ with your name on it, you're not going to answer honestly because you don't know what the especially economic repercussions could be.
And my only fear is others. I think that there are times that I've seen exceptional products put out there. You could organize an event with an exceptional range of services available to veterans. You have 30 service providers there, and you might have 10 veterans show up. You know, it is not always as easy as it may seem to present a good actually convert. I guess use their language to convert on the user. I think that's a big issue in this space. So it's just about the vehicle.
No, and again, it comes down to trust and some other issues. And so, like I said, I mean, we haven't had any issues so far. I mean, luckily, when you say to people you've created the Warrior Games, they automatically go, oh, I know what that is. And that's a really good thing. And it helps a lot of people. And you have some built-in trust.
And one more question before.
And then I think we're going to move it on. Yeah. So.
I knew you were going to do that. That's why I said I want to tell you one more. On the app, I haven't had a chance to take a look at. On the app, is there any way to collect data? Because we are a minority-majority county. Are there any way to catch the data between male and female and then ethnic groups?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I could tell you. I'm valid there.
Latino male. No, that's the social determinants are a really big factor. That's one of the reasons why counties really like this is they can slice and dice the data by any of those social environmental determinants of health and really understand underserved populations, especially.
So I think that was a great presentation and a really valuable discussion. I want to move it on. And so we have action items and there are three of them. I'd like to go out of order just because it makes most sense. We take the life score pilot. Item three, recommendation to review and submit a recommendation to the County Board of Supervisors to support life score's pilot program serving Orange County veterans. So, you know, I think we've had a bit of discussion, but I should just allow if there's any other friendly amendments or anybody wants feels they really need to say something in discussion. Seeing no one, we call for a roll call vote.
Can you explain the vote? What are you asking us? The proposal?
So it's what we've done in a few other occasions. Essentially, if we vote for this, we'll pick someone, we'll find a committee to come up with an actual letter. That would be a letter that we would address to the Board of Supervisors. And then we'd come back for a second vote to see if we support the letter they come up with. So do we want to basically continue and say that we think it's we would like to make a recommendation about Life Score to the Board of Supervisors as a body?
Madam Chair, can I make a suggestion?
Please.
I would feel comfortable, really comfortable, if you would put together an ad hoc committee and have them review this, especially with the conversation we had here, and the clerk can come up with something and bring that in, other than just sitting to the supervisor saying we recommend it.
Yeah, I think that's what we're saying.
Okay. No, but if you put together an ad hoc committee, that'd be really great to have them come back.
There's a lot more details that need to be done.
I didn't get a chance to go on. Yeah, so I'd like to do that.
So let's.
I would support that.
I'm wondering if there's who would like to be on the committee? Thank you, John. Eric, I know you got a lot going on, so you understand. Bobby, can I draft you?
No.
No.
But I'll carry his questions.
Hey, okay, so I'll appoint a third so that there's three of you. But John,
this is deeper. That they're asking the right questions.
Yeah, that's great.
The partner said no. Yeah, go ahead. You don't need to have three people on the committee anyway. You can have two members.
True.
Right.
All right. Unless anybody has a motion related to that, I think that's what we'll do. John, if you want to chair it, usually you guys do it by email. I mean,
yep. I'll work on it. I'll put something out tonight.
Great. Right.
Terrific. But I'll get your information also.
Yes.
If we can get more details and answers to questions.
So I'd like to do like a virtual demonstration through the whole process so you can see that. We didn't have enough time to do that today.
Okay. So we've got a half hour left and we've got two big agenda items. What I'd like to do is I'd like to ask Eric to introduce who chaired the ad hoc committee that worked on this. If you could make a statement about where you think we're at.
Sure. So
really quick, we, for the action item, can we say that then there's no action?
No action.
7-3.
We just take action.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to 7-2. So we met with Renee and we met with City Council after identifying that we would like to be able to one, alternate some meeting times, and then two, possibly move the meeting around, and came to some conclusions. One, need to set our meeting dates. Two, we have advisement for those dates. Three, that according to Don Cleveland, City Council, and Renee, that the way that the contract or the bylaws currently can be interpreted, that for the city folks to travel should be okay and not be incurred under additional costs that is mentioned in the bylaws. But we did provide an edit for it. We put it forth to council, and council gave us an edit back. And that is what you see in the final section under 7B. And that is about council meetings being open, public, conformance with provisions. The edits are council meetings shall be held at regular time and date, and at a location within Orange County, California, identified by the council that satisfies the access requirements of ADA. No additional cost to county other than mileage reimbursement for county staff. So we spelled it out there. That is our recommendation for a change to the bylaws. And we also drafted a letter to go with that that includes that draft change. And that is A. Under B, I'm sorry, under A, we also have recommended scheduling for our meetings. And if you look at that, then it's going to be on page 14 of 18. If you printed out the big packet, talks about recommendations. One, that we go with the meeting schedule. as we've done February, April. My recommendation would be to choose the second, February, April, June, August, October, November. So that will allow more people to be able to get out for community engagement. That was the complaint, that if we're having a meeting every month, it's so fast that it doesn't give council members, commissioners, time to get out in the community and actually be activated and be activists and do things in the community. So we came up with that recommendation. And then until county approves our amended bylaws, we recommend that the meeting locations stay here. Obviously, we can do them at 3 p.m., but that they stay here for the foreseeable future until we can get those bylaws amended. And then we would start looking at projecting where we would like to meet within the county. I'm not sure how to propose that in a, I mean, it's in there, but what's good verbiage for me to propose a motion? Do I need to make a motion?
I think it's already on as an action item.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like to do a little discussion. Does anybody have any questions for Eric? Or
yeah, you may just say we're waiting for some comments to come back from the general counsel.
No, we're done.
Oh, we're done.
So you got one? No, it's drafted. You have the final.
Edited. Okay, so we met with the council. Okay. Except either A,
we
or can, B for the meetings.
Yes,
the meetings.
And yes, sir.
And we're still allowed to go off campus if we want. So
we didn't want to recommend anything unless we were on safe.
That's it.
Okay, good.
I
agree with
you. Yeah. There's some landmines in the state.
That's why we confirmed with council. Yes.
Yeah. Or sea mines.
Yeah, I was going to say it's rough.
Unless we see
charges. Possible death charges. You're so bad.
No, they're visible.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to call for no further discussion.
Chair, if you just want to, since we have a vote separate, if you want to read subsection, and then we no longer need a roll calling person, just the majority.
Okay. All those in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Are we doing, can you read the action?
Fine, I'll read both.
Separate, two separate votes, right?
Yeah. Oh, you want to do them separate?
Read it.
Yeah, I thought. Okay, bylaws recommendation to review and approve the OCOC bylaws amendment as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carries. Two, Orange County Veterans Advisory Council ad hoc committee report, meeting times and locations. Two recommendations. Recommendation A, review and adopt the meeting schedule through the month of November to compliance with the bylaws. B, review and approve an OCOC letter for submission to the Orange County Board of Supervisors regarding tele-video conferencing capability. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Anybody abstaining?
Right, abstaining?
I can do that.
Bobby, I know you're the master parliamentarian.
Yes, right. I'll be about.
Okay, so for the executive committee, I only wanted to point out one thing. Is there a picture that we can bring up? Didn't see it all. Alexandra, Federico, I told them if they had one more, they'll be at fire. So 7 pounds, 2 ounces, apparently, and she was born on the 30th.
Naval Academy material, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll be brought to up. Like your parents.
Just say it.
So, and the only other thing I'll say is I really want to thank Eric's Mitty, John, you know, and Alexis was not
here. I was going to say, it was mostly her.
Yeah, well, and she did it while being uber pregnant. So yeah. I really appreciate your work, and I'm sure
she was motivated to work fast. That was the great
thing. No, she always is. She's a lot nicer than my wife. Jamie might disagree, you know, that sense. I'd like to move on to our CalVet update. Ben?
Go ahead, Ben.
No, go ahead.
So I just wanted to recap the last month. I think a major theme has been in Orange County really helping veterans. It's really about women veterans. I just want to recognize that what's happened is really impressive. Things have happened. know, Stephen, you started the meeting by noting the great event that Bobby put together. You know, truly statewide leaders on the issue of helping women veterans. Kelsey Fullerton had their annual Women Veterans in Higher Education Conference, always a great event. It was their 11th annual. And then the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative had its first ever general meeting. So that's one of the three big meetings a year that happen on women veterans. I Stephanie, and really an exceptional meeting. And that meeting was also the launch for the new Women Veterans Committee of the collaborative. So the idea, of course, is that we're going to build on this momentum to sustain the new developments and how we continue to help women veterans. And more, you know, Irwin Valley College had an exceptional event. There's another event. I'm actually going to be at it, Post-291 in Newport Beach, where U.S. Vets Women Veterans on Point is very involved in organizing that. So obviously an incredibly important topic, and one that I think we've done a lot to highlight in this month, and I think we'll want to continue the momentum the collaborative, I think, is working on to continue to make strides there.
Thanks, Ben. Claudia, you want to give the Department of Aging and the DSO update?
Yes. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, John, for your presentation. And Chair, thank you for your feedback, for your visit to the DSO in receiving that service for veterans benefits. So I'm glad to hear you had a great experience and definitely take all that feedback into consideration. With that said, as you all know, and I think you saw our wonderful new space as we've all transitioned in, we also now fill two. I believe during our last meeting, we mentioned we had two vacancies on our Veterans Claims Representative. So those two are now on board. Last one just literally started this past last week, Monday. So very much in training, very eager. Takes a little bit of that really helps support, you know, as we move forward to manage our wait times, our appointments and our walk-ins and all that good work that is being done here. So thank you for that. Very excited. And talking about needs assessment, I did want to bring it to everyone's knowledge. If you haven't already, Orange County is currently in the progress of getting that older adult needs assessment completed for the development of Orange County's master plan on aging that aligns with the state's California Department of Aging master plan for aging. And within that, I mentioned it because you may be receiving, if not, if you haven't already, either an invite and or some information to help engage our veteran services, our veterans throughout our county, and special agencies that are providing and touching and advocating our veterans in our county. Although, yes, it is geared towards our older adults and people with disabilities, we know that our veterans residents here are a big part of that. So I want to bring it to you because as our contractor, Advanced OC, they are leading that project in terms of conducting stakeholder interviews with the organizations as well as residents county. So back on the interview, our veteran residents, including our organization. So I wanted to bring that to you because I believe that is a great opportunity for this advisory board to get connected to part of that needs assessment. So we want to make sure that we have good representation and stakeholder feedback on our veteran side. So if, with your permission, Chair, I'd like to get your provide your contact information to them so that if you'd like to help coordinate something and provide that to the team as they get closer into developing some schedule with interviews and stakeholder and community forums. I want to keep all of you up to date on that. So more than willing to share and share with you as we develop that process. We want to make sure we have good representation. And that is all I have.
Anything, by the way, about you know, if you or George want to talk about the new space in terms of, I think you're going to try and decorate, make it even more inviting because it's yes. Sort of a blank canvas at the moment.
Yes, we
not nice than what used to.
All our offices are kind of blank canvases right now. We are definitely putting up our flags, getting all the work orders in place. There have been some items that have been ordered, but with our logistics currently, some of that are on back order. But we'll definitely be working. I want to thank the team here at administration too for coordinating all of that because I know it was a big task to move everyone to the new space. So yes, thank you. That is definitely the considerations and awaiting.
Still has that new office smell.
Yeah. Hopefully we can keep it that way, right? That's all I have.
Yeah, both of our committee chairs are standing committees are absent today. So I'm just going to move on. And council comments. And I'll start with our newest council member, Lieutenant Commander Steve Arts.
Thank you. So, pleasure to be back. I know a couple of you for many years, 20 years, Stephanie, 10 years, I think. So, I'm glad to be back. I've served two other times back in 98. I was on the committee, and I think in 2010 I was appointed. So, I'm back to help Professor JP as he requests and support the servant. So, I'll be good.
I want to do outreach in a community, and one of the things that I have fortunately in my local community in Mission Viejo is the vet center down there, and I'm trying to partner both with John Embry and Jeff Andrade regarding about doing some outreach programs and being a representative, and again I also want to partner with Saddleback and Irvine Valley College also, because apparently those are great sources of contact with vets. So within that part of Orange County, that is kind of my goal. And that's when I was talking about some type of outreach. I don't know if we have something, but I'm also interested, if we don't, is doing something that's a template for everybody to use if they do any type of outreach with, say, a VFW post on what we do here at OCVAC. So I'm interested.
We're on message and sort of saying some of the same things.
Yeah. So just, you know, and again, I want to be able to make sure that we have the intent of the council and support of the council with something like that. But it's something that really explains what our organization does here, what the council does, and how we can help them. Again, it's to bring more input. It's for me to be more functional and have more connectivity on this council from my part of my community.
That's something we've been trying very hard to figure out, how we can be more relevant to like veterans in the county and how we can connect better. So I think your interest is welcomed by everyone. John?
Aaron? Yeah, I don't have a lot on the vet front, unfortunately. I do have some personal news. The same week that my son got promoted to corporal, which is awesome, he's an active duty Marine, I lost my mother. So I lost my mom last Thursday. She was a Latina activist. She was technically a second wave feminist. She was also very involved in the labor movement in starting in the 1950s and going well into the 80s. But she was a California School Employees Association member. She was a hardworking paraeducator in Santa Ana Unified School District. And she's the one that taught me to be tough as nails. So I owe it to a mom. So, and then again, the son got promoted to corporal this last week.
That's awesome.
Pretty exciting. On the vet front, I am Orange County Sheriff reached out Don Barnes and was looking for a veteran to present the top recruit award tomorrow. So I'll be doing that as an Orange County veteran at the Orange County Sheriff's Academy. So be excited to represent Orange County veterans in that facet. So
hope you wear your OCVAC name tag. You gotta make sure
I'll do that. I'm also on the Sheriff's Advisory Council, but yeah.
That too. Or two. It'd be like Bob.
Or two hats. They haven't given me any pins or cool stuff, so I'll just wear the
points enough.
Yeah.
Good job making sure we got all our toys.
Thanks.
Bobby.
Couple of things. Dr. Joseph Latham over at Irvine Valley College just had a wonderful women's veterans program luncheon. They had exhibits and stuff, folks and stuff that over there. That was pretty nice. I attended that, but that's over for me. So it's good for him. I'm gonna give you a cemetery update.
Oh, okay.
CalVet and the DGS has found a way to get the money in the bank, and so the money's been transferred. We now have a consultant working on the to start. Actually, they're supposed to be starting to get the keys from the gates sometime this week. All right. Probably won't happen. But anyway, they're getting the keys. The fun part about the consultants is it's the same consultants that are still working on the program with the county on some stuff. So it just everything just kind of falling into place. Again, the money's in the account. They're looking at having the survey and having it all done by November. Which is pretty cool because those of you that are in the Department of Navy, you know, our tour duty is 18 months. And right now it's been 8 months into the program to get the cemetery built. And they're looking at having it in November. So that's 15 months, but moving right along. But the bottom line is they're looking to have the survey and done and have the amount of money that they need so they could use it to send it to the VA and utilize our congresspeople to get some extra money. There's still some stuff to make the sausage work, but I thought that let people know that we're tour duty 16 months and you've got to do it. You're not even close to a short timer. And to get it done, that's better than telling people to hurry up.
Okay.
But it's going real well, and it's got a big play in the community. The only other thing is I had an opportunity for Black History Month, the 29th of February this year. I was invited by the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to have breakfast with him and 11 other people, at least 5 or 6 were staff. So they have people across the country. And needless to say, the conversation was strictly about the PACT Act. And what was interesting, what's interesting is my name tag and stuff said Bobby McDowell, by Chamber of Commerce of Orange County. So they are really looking at me using the chamber to get the word out on the PACT Act. Which I thought was pretty cool. I did, on a personal note, they had another little meeting afterwards, a forum when they brought in a lot of the African-American or Black leaders from the faith-based and the different groups in the community there. And they brought out all this advice to chairman of what the benefits health and cemetery individuals have. Works and stuff of that effect. So it was pretty very, very intense, but very, very nice. Again, talking about the PACT Act. Also, the gentleman that is in charge of the veterans, this is director of veterans engagement in the office of the office of community engagement for some place called White House. Happens to be my fraternity brother. So I now have access to the White House.
God help us.
Yeah. Well, I say personal because one of the ladies walked up and said, "How did you get an invitation to the White House?" And he looked at me and said, "Well, you should have got one." And I said, "Well, I did." He said, "You'll have one in $500." 15 minutes later, I have an invitation to the White House for access to voices. And we're making some things happen. And the final thing is I'm working right now to make something happen on May the 8th, looking at doing at the BFW in Anaheim, having a veterans networking and connecting for businesses and resources. And I've sent me the material, so it'll be for the community, but highlighting Black veterans, Hispanic veterans, Native American veterans, LGBTQ veterans and Asian American veterans. So we'll be putting that out. So that'll be coming up. Other than that, I'm not doing anything.
Bobby reminds me, I do have one quick announcement. If people are available on Saturday, May 13th, Heroes Hall is hosting Veterans Voices. It's a series of 4 veterans just talking about their personal stories, and it's kind of interwoven in together. It's basically they hire a sort of oral historian to put it together. It's a really nice event. And so it's at 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 13th, if anybody's interested in attending.
One more thing. I should say the
Veterans Voices.
Yes.
Saturday, May 14th. And I'll get it to Michael Raddick.
Thanks to Elena Chen, Veterans Voices of Contra Costa, Edinburgh for Black History Month. And she was on last month.
Nice to see we're keeping up.
Yeah.
So we're May 10th at 3, when we'll hear a report in particular about where we're at on Life Core, and I'd like to put on the agenda that we'll be talking about meeting time.
Get on the app
today. We can adjourn?
Yeah.
Yeah.